Let us be still together as we prepare to worship God. From the psalmist. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Yonder is the sea, great and wide, creeping things, innumerable are there. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in all God's works, who looks on the earth and it trembles. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have being. So let's do that very thing as we sing together 10,000 Reasons.
Thank you.
So let us pray. Spirit of compassion, we bring you our hearts. Spirit of discernment, we bring you our choices. Spirit of wisdom, we bring you our minds. Spirit of boldness, we bring you our words. Spirit of fulfillment, we bring you our longings. Spirit of abundance, we bring you our resources. Spirit of creation, we bring you our lives. We praise you, God of all time, for speaking to us through the tongues of Pentecost, for stirring our longings with the excitement of Pentecost, for uniting our communities with the inclusiveness of Pentecost. Forgive us, Creator God, when we have not heard your voice in the song of the birds and the rustle of leaves, when we haven't seen you in the grandeur of the mountains and the rhythm of the waves, when we haven't rejoiced at the vibrance of spring or the colours of autumn, when we have stifled your spirit and confined your love, forgive us. Gracious God, ignite our prayers with the life-giving fire of Pentecost, that we may not fear our inadequacy, our hesitancy, or our doubt, but bring before you all that we are, all that we have been, and all that we can be. Help us to gather together and wait for you afresh, trusting your love, your mercy, and your forgiveness. Lord, we pray. Amen. And we say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Helen, thank you.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Well, we had some very bad news last night, didn't we? The UK didn't win the Eurovision. And out of all the facial expressions I'm looking at, none of them show surprise. And even worse news, Italy did. What a dreadful song. Yeah, it was a poor song, Ray, and it was poorly delivered and we were rubbish, so probably deserved it. But we didn't deserve nil pois, come on. So we're going to be positive today because it's Pentecost Sunday and traditionally it's known as the birthday of the church. And I've already done a talk in the past about really rubbish gifts that you've received. So today, because we're thinking about a fantastic gift from God, the Holy Spirit, I want you to tell me a really fantastic gift that you've received and that you've been really grateful for. So think about past birthdays or Christmas and tell me gifts that you've really, really loved to receive. And you can put it in the chat. Flowers, yes, lovely. Saxophone from Ray, yeah. The gift that keeps on giving. A train set, Kathy. Wow. Art materials. A Jesus watch where Jesus moved as you moved your arm. Oh, lovely. A scan photo of my first grandchild on the way. Yeah, that's a lovely gift as well. Anything else? Come on, people. When I asked what you really didn't like to receive, I had loads of answers. Let's be positive and have loads of answers. Hand-knitted jumper. Yeah. Goodness me. Should be a massive list. Oh dear. Oh, Janine. Tickets to the Wimbledon ladies final. That's a fantastic gift, I have to say. A meal with others. KI, what's key? KI. Slippers, letters from the kids, a novelty umbrella. Climped cup. Ah, okay, I see. Liz, what was your novelty umbrella? It's an interesting one. Pictures for my grandchildren. Yeah. Brilliant. Thank you. Well, survival in the Premier League. Let's have our first slide, please. Because we do think about Pentecost as being a birthday. And so we think about presents. Some lovely ones there, although I bet in that picture they're probably all empty. Let's have our second slide, please. Thank you. We're talking today about a gift that is even better than presents. We're talking about God's presence. God is in this place, and that really is the gift that keeps on giving. And the thing about Pentecost is it's something that we actually should celebrate every day, because as soon as we open our eyes, we can acknowledge that God's Spirit is in us and ask for him to be reborn in us. And so that we know that God is in this place, God's presence is always with us. It's the best gift ever. And I want to read you something just to finish. I read it a few weeks ago. It came from an email in the Bible Society. And I want to read it to you, and you may find it helpful to close your eyes at this point and just receive it, because I think it's fantastic. And it's totally about this gift of God within us that we celebrate at Pentecost. So here we go. God creates you. Christ invites you. The Spirit dwells in you. Forget what you think you know about how awful you really are. You are God's creature, beloved of Christ, in whom the Spirit dwells and delights. That's the bottom line. That's what is really true about you. Enjoy it. I hope you enjoy your Pentecost Sunday. And I hope that every day of your life is a Pentecost Sunday. Amen.
Thank you. So, of course, one of the readings today is the Acts chapter 2 reading. Pentecost, 50 days after Passover, originally a harvest festival, but by the time of Jesus, as it now, it celebrates God's covenant with Israel and the giving of the law. And Jean Thompson will read that. And then from John, which Camilla will read, Jesus draws Jesus' words in the chapters 14 to 16 of John, more images, more personal images than wind and fire, which you get in Acts, but it's about an advocate. Jesus comes from God and reveals the Father's love as the advocate will. Thank you.
When the day of Pentecost came, all the believers were gathered together in one place. Suddenly, there was a noise from the sky, which sounded like a strong wind blowing, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they saw what looked like tongues of fire, which spread out and touched every person there. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to talk in other languages, as the Spirit enabled them to speak. There were Jews living in Jerusalem, religious men who had come from every country in the world. When they heard this noise, a large crowd gathered. They were all excited because each one of them heard the believer speaking in his own language. In amazement and wonder, they exclaimed, "These people who are talking like this are Galileans. How is it then that all of us hear them speaking in our own native languages? We are from Parthia, Media, and Elam, from Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, from Pontus and Asia, from Phrygia and Pamphylia, from Egypt and the regions of Libya near Cyrene. Some of us are from Rome, both Jews and Gentiles converted to Judaism. And some of us are from Crete and Arabia. Yet all of us hear them speaking in our own languages about the great things that God has done." Amazed and confused, they kept asking each other, "What does this mean?" But others made fun of the believers, saying, "These people are drunk." Then Peter stood up with the other 11 apostles and in a loud voice began to speak to the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, listen to me and let me tell you what this means. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 o'clock in the morning. Instead, this is what the prophet Joel spoke about. This is what I will do in the last days, God says. I will pour out my spirit on everyone. Your sons and daughters will proclaim my message. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will have dreams. Yes, even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in these days, and they will proclaim my message. I will perform miracles in the sky above and wonders on the earth below. There will be blood, fire, and thick smoke. The sun will be darkened, and the moon will turn red as blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord comes. And then whoever calls out to the Lord for help will be saved." Amen.
The second reading is from the book of John, chapter 15, 26 and 27, and then chapter 16, verses 4b to 15. "The helper will come, the Spirit who reveals the truth about God and who comes from the Father. I will send him to you from the Father, and he will speak about me. And you too will speak about me, because you have been with me from the beginning, from the very beginning. I did not tell you these things at the beginning, for I was with you, but now I'm going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asked me where I am going. And now, I know that I have told you, your hearts are full of sadness. But I am telling you the truth. It is better for you that I go away, because if I do not go, the Helper will not come to you. But if I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove to the people of the world that they are wrong about sin and about what is right and about God's judgment. They are wrong about sin because they do not believe in me. They are wrong about what is right because I am going to the Father and you will not see me anymore. And they are wrong about judgment because the ruler of this world has already been judged. I have been much more to tell you, but now it would be too much for you to bear. When, however, the Spirit comes, who reveals the truth about God, he will lead you into the truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but he will speak of what he hears and will tell you the thing of things to come. He will give me glory because he will take what I say and tell it to you. All that my Father has in me, that is why I said that the Spirit will take what I give him and tell it to you. End of the reading. Thanks be to God.
Warm greetings to you. My name is Leslie Charlton and I'm one of the ministers of Kingston United Reformed Church. Maybe we can meet in person. Building's going to be open soon and it would be great to get to know you. And it would be great to hear your stories over how this time has been for you. The text that I'm preaching from on this day of Pentecost, Acts 2 verses 1 to 21, John 15, verses 26 to 27, and then 16 to 14b to 15. When the Holy Spirit comes on the disciples, their speech is clearly understood by an international audience. So this passage is not about speaking in tongues. This is the Spirit at work in different ways. This is about the cosmopolitan nature of Jerusalem and the fact that all nations have come together, and it's the fact that the message is understood by all nations, not just one, the nation of Israel. Pentecost was traditionally a harvest festival and people came from everywhere. And the Holy Spirit wasn't invented at Pentecost. Indeed, in the last few weeks, we've had stories about the Holy Spirit coming on various people, Gentile believers. Peter responds to the accusation of drunkenness by dismissing it, and then he reinterprets the prophet Joel for new times. Once the Spirit was granted to individuals and to kings, and now it is poured out on all flesh, regardless of gender, regardless of age, regardless of social status. And the message would appealed greatly to the writer of Luke Acts, for whom the fact that Jesus brings salvation to all is an important message. Sometimes this passage in Acts is interpreted as being a sort of reverse of the story of the Tower of Babel. In that story in Genesis, God stymies the people when they are building a tower, and he confuses the language. The Holy Spirit then is an extension of the Christian gospel and able to reconnect people and restore unity of communication that was lost at Babel. The vision of unity is, of course, an appealing picture. But at the end of the story in Pentecost, we don't have people all speaking the same language, as you did before the Tower of Babel was built. What we do have is something that for us in our times is more real. We have communication, even though people speak different languages, to represent the audience. The Holy Spirit working through difference, not erasing it. The vision of Joel remains that all people are going to work together, are able to do the work of the Spirit, regardless of age and race and gender, not merely one section of society. There's always a challenge to have unity. So on the desert island, the lone Presbyterian will build two churches. One, the church that they go to, and one that they would never darken the door of. Unity is much harder in a fragmented society, in a fragmented culture like ours. Different cultures, different languages, different ages, and each separate from one another. Christian unity, though, is a sign to society and a witness to the power of the gospel. It's a powerful sign if a group of young people allow an old person the status of leading them. It's a powerful sign if people who are secure in their immigration status allow the person who is not secure in their immigration status to teach them. It's a powerful sign when you raise a wadge of cash for the world's poor, and rather than telling the poor what you're going to do for them, you listen to what they say they want, and then you invest that money in a local partner, like Christian Aid do. In the passage from John, Jesus is saying goodbye to the disciples. We can see this as a piece written for our benefit and for the benefit of the early church. Why won't he stay? Wouldn't life be so much better if he would stay? Not so, says Jesus. The main point that he seeks to stress to them is that they are better off with him gone and the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, coming. The Spirit who will protect them, advocating, testifying, speaking the truth, glorifying. The Spirit is the Paraclete who will advocate for us on the earth, who will bring to God all in appropriate language, to quote Romans. The Spirit that will testify Jesus to us and hold in us the subversive memory of Jesus. The Spirit will take us back into the presence and teaching of Jesus, but also the Spirit will take us forward. He'll speak a word of challenge to us when we go away from God, when we stop listening, when we stop discerning the Spirit's voice and the Spirit's presence. Like if we find that in our worship we have separated it from justice and it has become a mere ritual that we go through. Of course we all want comfort blankets, but God isn't one of them. Safe, cozy religiosity is not the path for which we are called. We used to have a member of the church who was an arms dealer. And one of the elders in my early days in Kingston took me in a corner and said that this man was complaining to him about the fact that when he came to church, he found it uncomfortable because I was always having a go at him when I was preaching. How much easier life would have been for him if he'd come to church and been told that everything was fine and to gather for a bit of old-time religion. But the work of the Spirit, challenging, nudging and prompting him. It wasn't me or indeed any of the other preachers who'd been in the pulpit. It was God at work through the scriptures, through the Spirit that was leading him on. When we shape our message about what is easy or about what will sell, what will be attractive, as opposed to what is right and what is true, then we are in trouble. And the worst of troubles is that at the beginning, such reframing of an easy message could well look like success. We do not gather in our perfection to be congratulated. We are called to growth in holiness, and it is the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, that will set us free. But that means cut away things that are comfortable and be a means of challenge to our ways of living. That means that bits of us need to be cut off and other bits of us need to be allowed to grow. And as a community, we need to be shaped by the Spirit, not by the continual trends of fashion. I was in a meeting this week, which would be last week when you get to hear this, when the leader of Oxygen, a man called John Trend, was talking about a challenge for them in terms of funding some of the programmes that they run. They have been involved in work with young people in knife crime for a long time. Before it became such a major issue, they were involved in it. And now they've found that all their applications for funding are being turned down because the grant-making ship has sailed and gone off somewhere else. There is still a problem with knife crime. There are still work to be done. But fashion, in terms of where money is being given, is moved on. We need to be people who, yes, of course we use different methods, but we need to be people who stick with the truths that we believe in. Truths about justice, about mercy, about love and kindness. Like when the mental health ship has moved on somewhere else, we need to be people, as a community, where still people can say to us, I'm struggling, and that will be heard, and that will be okay. The message of Pentecost is that the church is to live by the power of the Spirit. That doesn't mean flashy signs and wonders, beloved of some of our brothers and sisters in Christ. It means the solid food of justice, love, kindness, which can transform the world. Not the unity of uniformity, which makes things so much easier, but the unity that love brings, that we will battle through together, bravely and with a generosity of spirit. Jesus talks to the disciples and then tells them, you will see me no more, but our attitudes and actions will be seen. Our lives will show whether we live by righteousness or not. It has to do with what Jesus describes as the fruits of our lives. What are our fruits? In this dry and difficult season, what are our fruits? The pastor, Rick Warren, who's the lead pastor of a church, Saddleback in California, one of the biggest churches in the world, had the terrible experience of his son, aged 27, killing himself. And spoke about the pain of that. And one of his messages is to make sure that you use the pain of suffering. How have we individually and as a community together used the pain of this time? a time of loss, a time of death, a time of change and challenge and separation, what are the fruits of it? But with all that, wasn't the Holy Spirit meant to protect us? Isn't that what Jesus said? What does that look like? Imagine how it sounded to the original hearers of John's Gospel, who knew that many of their brothers and sisters had been slaughtered for the faith. Indeed, for us as a community, we also have among us people who have had family members die for the faith. Unimaginable to most of us. But what is this protection? It's not the protection of a metal wall. It's the protection of a hand on the shoulder or a kiss on the forehead. Violence and vindictiveness is in us, as well as around us. Let's not pretend. But still, the presence of love is always with us, and we are held in love always. And letting that be known and shown, that is the work of the Spirit. Amen.
Let's pray. Flaming God of Pentecost, let us speak in tongues of comfort to those weeping over the bodies of their loved ones. Shot by troubled gunmen, killed in border clashes, dying from COVID. Let us speak in tongues of courage of those living in fear. Of the peace treaty breaking down, the next shooting, the next bomb, the illness that threatens. Let us speak in tongues of condemnation against laws and policies that promote violence, prioritizing the preferences of some over the lives of others. Let us speak in tongues of care for the most vulnerable in our world. Human beings, animals, ecosystems. Let us speak in tongues of love for you and for your people, that your language might be our language. And when our tongues are still, and there are no words to speak, let our hearts burn with fire. Let our ears hear your words in our native tongue. Let our skin feel the wind of your spirit, a mighty wind blowing where it will. And may we release these prayers to you. Come, Holy Spirit, renew the whole creation. Lord, we pray. Amen. So some notices before we move on to our communion. I'll email these out to you, and if you don't receive an email and you'd like to, let me know. Just to remind you that from Sunday the 6th of June, that's not next Sunday, the Sunday after, the Zoom service will be at 10 o'clock and there will be a service in the building at 11:30. Coffee bar, coffee service is now open. Hurrah! Thank you to Liz and her team. Thank you. Podcast, send me some tips, tricks. I'll get that together. There'll be a bank holiday walk on the 31st of May. It'll be from New Malden to Kingston. Details of that, it will be in the morning. Georgina's in charge. Thank you, Georgina, for making that happen. Next Sunday, Messy Church, everybody's welcome. Invite your family from around the country. Golden opportunity to get together. I'm away myself next week. I'll send you, remind you, Sue Shaw's number if there's a pastoral emergency, or my work phone will be left behind. And if you communicate with that, Catherine will redirect your message. And some news of people. Ray Taylor is now in Teddington Hospital, which is progress to recovering from his fall and getting loads of physio. Continue to pray for Myrtle. You may have received a text from me or a message from me that's reminding you to pray for Katie Frost, who is unwell. And let me tell you that John Davis is moving into the care home where Margaret lives tomorrow. I think that's everything for me. James, would you like to show us the clip? Just the final wash up for those Christian Aid donations. Thank you.
Many major charities have their roots in the church, but one in particular makes no secret of the faith at its heart, even after 75 years of action. Katie Piper went to find out more.
In 1945, the world was facing a refugee crisis. Many British and Irish churches got together to provide help. The work quickly expanded to humanitarian support across the globe, and Christian Aid was born. Chinny MacDonald is an author and broadcaster, but her day job is here in the charity's headquarters.
I love our rich history of having been involved in some of the world's biggest movements for change. So we were involved in the civil rights movement in the 1960s. We worked with Martin Luther King. We worked on the anti-apartheid movement in the 1980s. And today we are working on what we believe is the biggest issue facing humanity today, which is the climate crisis.
How important is it that you've kept your name? You know, you've not rebranded and it's still very much at the heart of everything you do.
While we work with people of all faiths and none, and we have lots of staff who are not Christian, there's this fundamental motivation to who we are and what we do, which is about making a difference in the world.
Tomorrow marks the beginning of the most important week for the charity, which sees over 15,000 churches coming together to raise funds and awareness. And some have been volunteering for decades.
Been involved for over 40 years. It was when I first met my wife, she dragged me along delivering envelopes and knocking on doors, which I absolutely hated at the time, but I've grown to enjoy that, enjoy chatting to people on the doorstep and telling them about the work they do.
Because of the pandemic, volunteers are having to be more creative this year. To highlight the effects of climate change on water supplies in Kenya, some local clergy are doing a sponsored walk carrying buckets of water. And for volunteers like Susan, understanding what families in other countries are facing is just as important as raising money.
So for me, in the Bible, it talks about Jesus saying that he comes that people can have life in all its fullness. Now, I have that life. I have clean running water. I have a safe roof over my head. I can look after my daughter. I have opportunities, and she'll have opportunities as well. But for other people across the globe, that's simply not available to them. And I wouldn't be living out my faith if I then didn't offer that opportunity to have life in all its fullness for my local neighbour and my global neighbour. That really matters to me.
For Chinny too, this work is deeply rooted in her Christian faith.
I really see my job as a vocation. I really feel called to do what I do. And that's because I believe that the Christian faith should be good news in the world, wherever good news is needed. And what better way to give good news to someone than standing together with them for dignity, equality, and justice.
And then he goes on to a bit of a clip from, God bless them, marvellous. I know at least one person here today is squirming at that. And then he goes on to show a clip of Beauty for Brokenness, and a number of people said, did you see Phil Crump? Yes, we saw Phil Crump singing. That was a clip from Songs of Praise. So move on with a prayer of dedication as we move to our communion. Let us pray. Living God, you are the Lord of all. Only you can send your Spirit to bring new life. You graciously speak your word of hope in times of struggle and uncertainty, and in times of joy and peace. We are grateful that you are continually at work in our lives, continually at work in the world to fulfill your promises. May our giving today show our trust in you. May you be present for us through one another and through bread and wine. And we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Gathered round a table is where Jesus so often met people. The table of Matthew, the table of Zacchaeus, the table of Martha and Mary, the table of Peter, the table of Joanna and Susanna. Gathered round a table where he could see people face to face, listen to their stories, and share their laughter. And here we are, gathered with him, because Jesus has promised to be with those who want to meet him. So we accept his invitation and feel ourselves to be welcomed. What we do here, we do because it is Jesus who calls us. For it was during the meal that he took bread, and when he had blessed it, he broke it and said, "This is my body, it is given for you. Do this to remember me." Later in the meal, he took a cup of wine, and after he had given thanks, he said, "In this cup is the new relationship with God made possible because of my death. Drink it, all of you, to remember me." So we will do as Jesus did. We will take this bread and this wine, the produce of the earth and the work of human hands through which Jesus has promised to make himself known. And as he said a prayer before sharing, we will follow his example. Let us pray. Praise be to the breath of life, blowing with hope, blast of energy, stirring presence. Praise be to the fire of heaven, hot force of passion, furnace of purity, flame of power. Praise be to the voice of God speaking within God's people, giving tongues of praise, connecting lives to one another. Praise be to the Spirit of Jesus, declaring the risen life, witnessing to his ascended glory, sharing his holy love. Praise be to the one who has promised to be with us to the end of the world, to keep his promise in this bread. Praise be to the one whose spirit descended on the disciples with startling power, who embraces us in this cup. Praise be to God, known through the Holy Spirit, present with us. Amen. So he took bread, and after he had blessed it, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you." These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. The body of Christ. The blood of Christ. So let us pray. Oh God, for those moments when the barrier between heaven and earth fall away and we are touched by fire, when we know what to say and how to say it, we thank you. When we know what to do and how to do it, we say thank you. And we say, Do it again. Do it again. Do it again until there is nothing left of us but a pure, clear flame burning for you. Lord, we pray. Amen. Closing hymn is Come Down, O Love Divine. After that, after some of you run out of church, others, the remnant will be left, and we'll get together in our breakout rooms. Please come and join us. So we join to sing Come Down, O Love Divine. So now we leave this space of worship. And while so much of the road ahead is uncertain, the path constantly changing, we know some things that are solid and sure. As the ground beneath our feet and the sky above our heads, we know that God is love. We know that Christ's light endures. We know that the Holy Spirit is there, found in the space between all things, closer to us than our next breath, binding us to each other until we meet again. Let us pray. Let us go in peace. Amen.